The following presentation of the Midland City Council will begin in a moment. The Midland City Council is the city's legislative body. It sets policies, approves budgets, determines tax rates, and adopts ordinances and resolutions to govern the city. It is made up of 5 elected officials that represent the wards in which they reside, and councilmen are elected to 2-year terms. The mayor is elected from among the council members by vote of the city council. City council meetings are held at 7 p.m. 2 Mondays per month in council chambers at City Hall. This presentation is provided by the MCTV Network, a service of the City of Midland. Replays of this meeting can be found on MGTV Channel 188 on Charter Spectrum, through Channel 99 on AT&T UVerse, or on demand at www.cityofmidlandmi.gov. Select meetings are available on MCTV Network's Government Affairs podcast channel.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us here today for our first council meeting of the year. As you see, we're in a kind of a different location here today. We're at the Midland County Service Building, which we will be for approximately six to eight weeks. Okay, so meetings will be attended at here. So if you'd join me to do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Lacey, could you please do roll call?
Councilman Wasbinski.
Here.
Councilman Brown Wilhelm.
Here.
Councilman Arnosky.
Here.
Councilman Soler.
Here.
Honorable Mayor Donker.
She will not be attending this meeting today. So first off, we have an agenda change. Brad, can you talk on that, please?
We do. Item number 3, which is the first reading of a payment in lieu of taxes ordinance for workforce housing development at 115 East Lawn Drive by River Caddis Developments, has been withdrawn from the agenda. We anticipate it will come up to one of the next couple of council meetings. We will advise council further when that happens. That was done at the request of the applicant.
Okay, thank you. So that's number 3 that will be taken off the agenda.
Correct.
Disclosure of any conflict of interest from any council? Seeing none, we'll continue on. So we're going to look at adopting the consent agenda items. All resolutions marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate consideration of these items unless a council member or citizen requests during the discussion stage of the motion to adopt the consent agenda as indicated. If there is even a single request of the item, will be removed from the consent agenda without further motion and considered in its listed sequence in regular fashion. Is there anyone on council that wants to remove an item? Anyone from the public that would like to remove an item from the agenda or consent agenda? All right, seeing none, could I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign. Thanks. So that's 4-0. All right, we have a public hearing first, and that's to accept a grant from the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dow Foundation. And Karen, you're going to explain this to us.
Thank you. This evening, I'm here to talk about the Poseyville Riverfront Restoration and a grant that we've received for that. This project, if you recall, is a partnership between the City of Midland and the Michigan Baseball Foundation. The project is an $11.5 million project, and the phase that we're talking about this evening is the pedestrian bridge that will cross the river from East Main Street over to the project site. So the city has applied twice to the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dow Foundation in support of this project. The first grant was received in June of 2021 for $1.13 million. And the second grant was awarded in June of 2023 for $1.5 million with an additional $250,000 matching challenge grant. The H.H. Dow Foundation has been a fantastic supporter of this project, and we're very grateful that they're offering these funds in support of it. The Michigan Baseball Foundation representatives are in the final stretch. There's about $500,000 left that they need to fundraise. And the funds that are being raised are being kept at the Midland Area Community Foundation in a project account. Most of the donations that have been received for this project have gone directly to the Midland Area Community Foundation. Certain foundations, though, their rules, bylaws, guidelines will not allow them to send funds to the directly to the project fund of the Community Foundation. The funds have to come through the city of Midland first, and that is the case with the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dow Foundation. So the city will receive the $1.75 million directly into our accounts. I forgot to mention, we did successfully meet the challenge grant, so we will be getting the challenge grant component as well. So we do need to amend the fiscal year 23-24 general fund budget to accept the grant and to increase our revenue and our expenses by the $1.75 million. And then the city will then transfer the funds over to the Community Foundation so that the funds can be housed in that project over there. Council set this evening for a public hearing to consider the budget amendment, and the resolution will amend the budget accordingly. And here's a snapshot, which is a little smaller than I anticipated, on the screen here that shows the current project site and then the conceptual design for the project. And that's all I have. Any questions?
Right. Questions for Karen.
Karen, one question. One of the questions I've been getting about the pedestrian bridge is, where will it land on the, I guess, east end side of the building of the river? Where exactly will that connect?
It will land if you are, let's say you're standing with your back to the river and you're looking at the east end building. Where the east end building ends, there's a nice sized walkway that goes along the east end building. It comes out perpendicular to Main Street. The bridge will line up right across the street from that. So as you come off of the bridge, there will be a little pedestrian crossing that will put in the street, and people can cross right across and continue into that east end property if they wish, or they can take the sidewalks in either direction.
So really like at the corner of the east end building?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, this is a public hearing, so we will proceed. Open the public hearing. It's nice and quiet. So is there anybody in the public who would like to comment on this? All right, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Lacey, could you please read the resolution?
This resolution amends the fiscal year 2023-24 general fund budget to accept grant funds in the amount of $1.75 million from the Herbert H. and Grace A. Dow Foundation and increases revenues and expenditures by this amount to be used for the Poseyville Riverfront Restoration Project.
Okay, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion. Any comments?
We look forward to when it gets going this spring.
Thankful for the support of the foundations.
Great. Yes, very much so. We are so blessed with foundations helping out with this stuff. A lot of this stuff would not happen if it wasn't for them. So, all right, go ahead and vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And that passes 4-0. Now is the time for public comment. This is an opportunity for people to address City Council on issues that are relevant to council business but that are not on the agenda. Are there any comments for today? You guys are making this easy for me today. All right, continuing on. So item number 3 was pulled, so we're on to item number 4, which is the first reading of recreation fees ordinance. And Karen, this is your night tonight.
It is. Karen Murphy Show. All right. This evening, I'm here with the first reading of an ordinance for recreation fees. Just to give you a refresher on how our fee review process happens, each November, our staff looks at the recreation fee philosophy along with the Parks and Recreation Commission. We talk about whether they feel that philosophy continues to serve us well or not. And then the staff brings proposed fees to the commission to consider. In December, we hold a public hearing on the proposed fees at the Parks and Recreation Commission meeting. This year, there were very minimal changes to the fees. The next step can involve a joint meeting between City Council and the Parks and Recreation Commission. This year, we opted not to hold that meeting because the changes are quite minimal. So tonight, we have a first reading of the general recreation and the swimming fee ordinances. And at the January 22nd meeting, I will bring these ordinances back for a second reading and consideration for adoption. So, quick review of our recreation fee philosophy. Under competitive sports, our goal is to recover all direct costs associated with adult sports, so that would be field maintenance and programming costs, and then only to recover the programming costs for youth sports to keep those affordable for families. Under general recreation, that's our facilities and our equipment rentals, and we aim to recover costs associated with the labor to set those facilities up and to deliver and pick up equipment. And then under swimming, this follows our youth philosophy that we cover approximately 50% of our our operations budget, which is roughly our programming component for Plymouth Pool, because we want to keep that activity affordable for families and we want children to learn how to swim. So here are the actual fee proposals for this year. We are proposing to increase adult and youth softball fees by $3 per player for the adult leagues and $2 per player for the youth leagues. We are proposing to eliminate the Toboggan Adventure package from the city forest winter packages. We've had people reserve this package many times, and I don't know that we've ever been able to come follow through with it because the toboggan runs are so weather dependent. And then people plan their events and we don't have the toboggan runs available because we've had a warm spell or we've had ice melting from sunshine. And so we're just going to eliminate that option so people aren't disappointed when we can't provide it. We're asking to add a detail on the park's trash receptacle rental to clarify when those can be used. They are for non-park events and for for-profit events. In the swimming ordinance, we're looking to combine the limited pass for youth and adults into one limited pass for all ages. So it'll be $60 for 15 admissions. You can use those for anybody in your family. We're asking to increase the aqua size daily drop-in from $5 to $12. This seems like a big jump, but the fee was put into place probably 8 to 10 years ago, and then we stopped offering it because we didn't have an instructor. And so now we have an instructor who wants to come in and do the classes again, so that's why there's such a significant jump in this cost. We're also asking to increase the competitive swim rental from $65 to $75 per hour just to cover cost of labor and equipment at the chemicals at the pool, rather. And then we are going to clarify some language of the ordinance. It was pointed out to us by one of the councilmen that our ordinance didn't match our practice. Our unlimited season paths for youth is also applicable to seniors as well. And we've been selling it that way for years, but the ordinance language didn't match that. So we're going to clean that up. Then we're also going to increase the Midland Dolphins rate from $5,500 to $5,750 for the season. This one doesn't require an ordinance change because the ordinance language is written that staff can make adjustments to the rate as costs increase, but I just wanted to point out that that will be an increase, again, to follow the increasing costs at the pool. So at the Parks Commission public hearing in December, there were no public comments offered, and the Parks Commission unanimously recommended that the fees be presented to City Council. So again, tonight is our first reading of the ordinances, and January 22nd, I will be back for a second reading and adoption. Any questions?
Questions for you?
So for the tobogganing package, if the weather didn't cooperate and somebody reserved it, do we give them a refund?
Yes.
Okay.
And this, I should have clarified too, that the toboggan package was, you could rent the chalet on a night that we weren't open to the public, mm-hmm. and then you could have toboggans. So people would plan a party, and then their main attraction of toboggans wouldn't be available, and it was just disappointing.
Any other public comments on this at all? Anybody write in or anything on it?
No, we haven't heard any public comment.
And I guess with the pool repairs that we've got scheduled, we anticipate still that the pool will be open next season?
We are very hopeful. Our okay. staff has reviewed it. They're very hopeful that things are in good shape. With the pool, you never know until you start it up in the spring what's going to happen in terms of equipment and whatnot. But we put it to bed in the fall, and it was in good shape, so we're very hopeful.
All right, thank you. Lacey, can you please read the resolution summary?
This action introduces and gives first reading to two ordinances amending fees for various recreation offerings.
Okay. Motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved?
Second.
Second. Moved and seconded. Discussion?
Fee rates seem reasonable, and it's nice that they're going up slowly versus mm-hmm. a big jump all at once.
All right, ready to vote? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. And that passes 4-0. All right, again, Karen, second reading.
Just waiting, technical okay. delay
no, that's
there.
Good. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay. No, we're good, thank you. So now I am here to talk about yard waste fee proposals. The last time the yard waste fees were increased was in 2015. Our yard waste program is a voluntary pay-as-you-throw program, which means the more you use the program, the more you pay for it. So if you want to put one bag of yard waste out, you pay 40 cents plus the cost of your bag. If you want to put a bin out every week, you pay for the cost of the bin. So it's a true pay-as-you-throw user program. All yard waste bags and bins require a collection sticker, and the fees are set to recover the cost of collection. Yard waste is approximately 15% of our total annual refuse budget every year, and that's how we determine what revenue we should be recovering on the yard waste program. So here I have the 22-23 expenses for yard waste, which was 15% of our refuse cost at $323,000. And you can see that our revenue only came in at $231,000. So we had a shortfall of just over $92,000 in cost recovery on yard waste. So here is the current fee and then the proposed fee. So currently we charge $40 for your first bin sticker and $17 for each additional bin that you have. And then we charge 40 cents per bag sticker. What we're proposing to get us in line with our true cost recovery is $55 for the first bin, $25 for each additional bin, and $60 for the bag. We had talked about phasing this in over 2 years, but we know our residents really don't like fee increases, and we didn't want to upset people 2 years in a row. And while it is fairly significant in terms of going from $40 to $55, it's not something that we think is going to prohibit people from being able to participate. So we thought we would just rip the Band-Aid off, do it in 1 year, get the fees in place. Based on last year's actual usage data, the new fees should generate about $90,000 in additional revenue. So that will get us shored up with our cost recovery model. The ordinance reflecting these changes was presented in January 8th for first reading. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that right? It was presented in December. No. Sorry, I got an error in my slide. Oh, goodness sakes. Right. I know, it's and presented this evening for second reading and adoption. It was a rough Christmas season. I was sick the whole season, so I kind of lost track of some time. So the new fees will be effective upon adoption for the 2024 season. And because we haven't reviewed this in so long, there is a rather substantial increase in the fee. So my staff will be reviewing this expense annually going forward and looking at smaller incremental fee increases. Maybe we can do a dollar or two a year instead of having to do a big jump in 1 year. Any questions?
Questions for Karen? Pretty straightforward. All right. Okay, Lacey, could you please read the resolution or something?
This action gives second reading and adoption to amend Section 21-4 of Article 1 of Chapter 21 of the Code of Ordinances, Yard Waste Collection Fees.
All right, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
All right, moved and seconded. All those in favor, please. Oh, discussion, I'm sorry. Like I said, pretty much straightforward. So, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And that passes 4-0. As you know, City Council, or hopefully you knew, that City Council and City staff met this past Saturday for an informational retreat. And we went through a whole bunch of information. And Brad, you're going to kind of give us a summary and
walk you through it a little bit.
Walk us through it and what we looked at for objectives.
Right. As you've indicated, this past Saturday we did meet, which is our annual retreat, looking at what our objectives, what our budget goals are for the coming year. Those are always what drive the start of the budget process as far as the public involvement is concerned, and certainly the council directives and input that start that. It doesn't conclude, of course, until well into the spring by the time we bring back the documents for public comment, public presentation, and then adoption ultimately by City Council. What we do, however, at this particular meeting is we make sure that we come back, we summarize the directives that all of you decided upon on Saturday. We formalize them in the form of receiving the report that's presented to you tonight. And my goal is to make sure that I've captured what you actually discussed and that it reflects the directives that you provided. So starting first and foremost, our public services, you have consistently for a number of years provided a directive that is that the public services be maintained at the highest level that we can financially provide. We consider our current economic and budget considerations and conditions as we do so, and that becomes one of the budget directives for you, so that as we present our budget, prepare that budget, we try not to cut any services unless that becomes required. With regards to the millage rate, as you all know, we have had, I think it's 8 consistent years without a millage increase, about 11 years, not considering the one that we're heading into, about 11 years where we've had very minor to no budget increases as far as the millage rate is concerned.
The direction that was provided again this year, based upon the discussions and then the financial decisions and directives that were provided, was that we try to maintain, or that we anticipate, I should say, maintaining the rate again at the 15.14 mil level, which again would be no increase over the previous numbers of years. We did, however, also discuss that if necessary, there could be an allowance to look at up to a 0.5 mil increase to achieve the directives that were provided by council. The primary goal, however, being to hold the millage rate the same as it has been for the past number of years. With regards to projects and specific funding directives, the first that we talked about was Barstow Airport. There are a number of regulatory challenges that are presented out there, whether that be tree clearing, whether that be runway improvement, whether that be any other number of regulatory directives that the FAA provides to us. And council's directive was that in addition to funding that's been provided in previous years, that an additional $250,000 be provided, with the intent being specifically that that is towards meeting those regulatory requirements. It's not to do the nice things that we would like to do, but can't necessarily afford to do at the airport. So it is specific to the regulatory requirements. The second directive was relative to a building fund. We talked at some length about the need to look at the buildings, the facilities that the city owns and operates, things such as the DPW facilities, the wastewater facilities, and a number of others that are around. And there was a directive saying that we should look at including $250,000 towards this, what we're calling a building fund at this point in time, not directed to any one specific building, but going towards the, contributing, I should say, towards a fund that can be used and put towards these. Council would be, could provide directive at later times when we bring it forward as to what actual building expansions, renovations may be necessary, but this would be the start of it. You'll notice that in the report, it indicated that the intention, at least the expectation, would be that this would be the start of that fund and that we would look at this annually and, if able to, contribute funds on an ongoing annual basis each budget year. The third, coming through differently, is a leachate treatment system, which is a required system that will be, I shouldn't say required, required is not the right word, it's a system that will be required in the not too distant future. We just don't know when that future is going to hit us. And what I mean by that is there are operating licenses requirements that come to us from the state of Michigan as to how we operate our landfill. And as part of that, the leachate that comes from the landfill is going to have to be captured, treated before it can be released from the site. And there's going to need to be a system put in place in order to do that. Council has in the past funded the acquisition of property in a building right beside the operating landfill that was intended to provide the location for this system. And this is the start of the costs, frankly, that would go towards this. This could be, I think the number that was put forward was up to $7 million for this system. So this would be, again, the start of a fund towards starting to establish money that can be utilized for the purposes of implementing what we expect to be a state requirement in the future. It also, just to be clear, the source of funding for this was actually uncommitted personal property tax reimbursement funds. You'll recall that we have been receiving excess funds above what we budgeted for a number of years. This year, we budgeted $3 million of those funds into our budget, or anticipate putting that into our budget, I should say. And it would be up to $500,000 of anything above and beyond that $3 million that would be used for this fund. If we didn't get that, it wouldn't be recognized at this level. So the summary of all of those is $1 million in specific directed funds over three different either intents or specific projects. We also spoke to unfunded liabilities, and this is amounts above and beyond the ARC, or the annual required contribution. Two funds in specific, or in particular, were specified for additional contributions, the first being the MERS, which is one of the pension funds within the city, for an additional $500,000, again, above the ARC. The second is the Act 345, which is our police and fire pension funds, that there would be an additional $100,000 contribute towards that, that fund being a little bit better funded than the MERS fund. The third one being our OPEB costs, again, higher funded. The directive was that there'd be no additional contributions above the ARC. And it, just in context, you'll recall that we also had a fairly good discussion about the expectations on market returns and that we will in some part wait to see what those returns are on those funds. We anticipate that with the market over the last year that the funding rates may be a little higher even than they were last June. With respect to fund balances, I think this is the last one that we will, at the end of the budget process, if there are any uncommitted general fund resources, that they would be deposited into a general fund budget stabilization reserve. This is something and an activity that City Council has done fairly consistently over the last number of years. We have it in this current year's budget, and you recall the directive on Saturday again was we don't know what that number will be until you get to the end of the year. And that's kind of the way it worked. It's simply what's left over a little bit that's not otherwise committed in our budget when we reach the end of our fiscal year each June. So again, the directive was that we continue to do that come next year, a year June. So the actual recommendation is that you receive the report that's been presented. The question, of course, is does that adequately capture the directives of council as discussed on Saturday? And if it is, then the motion as presented would be appropriate. If not, we can amend any of the language and any of those recommendations as far as the budget directives are concerned. And if there's any questions, I'd be pleased to answer them.
Questions for Brad.
It reflects our discussion and our outcomes. Thank you.
I try. That's why I take a lot of notes.
Hey, Lacey, could you read the resolution summary?
This resolution approves the City Council budget objectives for fiscal year 2024-25.
Okay. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Okay. Discussion?
No, I agree. It reflects
pretty much
what we discussed.
All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And that passes 4-0. So that brings us to the end of our agenda for today. Just a reminder, offices will be closed on the 15th to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s holiday. And our next meeting will be on January 22nd, 2 weeks from now.
New business?
You do have a new business.
I'm sorry. Thank you. New business. Is there anyone on the council has new business?
So only an update. So Saturday, of course, we were in the building just across the walkway here in the council chambers. For your information, the council chambers are already well under demolition. The dais that you are used to sitting at is gone. The podium that the public speaks from is gone. The areas in the back have started to be cut up and torn. The ceilings are coming apart. So it is well under construction as of today. So it was a good start on that work, but certainly a room that is no longer available to us for a while.
Thank you. Anything else? Anything else, Brad?
Nothing else.
Okay. All right. Okay. With that, we are adjourned.
Nice and short for our first time.